don't come here for form or for fashion. We come to worship. Not about your hat. It's not about your dress. It's not about your suit. Not even about what's going on in your house today. It's about God when you come into the house. And when you get here, there ought to be something way down on the inside that needs to look up and see a high and holy God. And you need to be able to raise your hand and say hallelujah to God. In spite of my circumstances, hallelujah. God, I need deliverance. Hallelujah. Got trouble in my way. Hallelujah to God. Like me and been through some things in life, life will teach you how to worship. Somewhere long in there, when you can't go another further, as my great grandmother used to say, you're going to realize that as you worship, God begins to step out of heaven into your time and into your So the scripture's been read. I'm not going to read all of it again, but I just want to remind you a little bit of what we're doing, a headline and a couple of sentences from this article that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. In chapter 5, I'm reading at verse 21. And I will also pick up verses 32 and 33. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's the headline. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. 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 Take a breath. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray for anointing from on high. Yes. That you might reveal, even in this moment, God, your truth to your people. About your will for man and woman and children and families in creation. Set us in order, God, by the power of your word and by the unction of your spirit. To allow us to live lives as family, Lord God, that give you glory and honor and praise. Speak to us now, God, your people, we your people, God, wait to hear a word from you. Lift up our bowed down heads. Encourage our hearts, Lord God, unto greater works that will give you glory. We thank you, God, for this time when you're speaking and we are listening. Change us. Transform us, remake us, and remold us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We are focusing on family. And I wonder if somebody would turn the heat down in here. Lord Jesus, thank you. Is that what it is? We're focusing on family and family unity in particular during this time.
My family
here. Amen. Amen. And we're glad. And let me first say that it was not my intent to be preaching today. You will notice by looking at me that I am not Minister Tracy Newman. Minister Tyree Newman and I both are happy about that. Amen. Amen. We ask you to continue to pray for her family, but when I see her, I'm going to get on her. Because she chose one of the hardest texts in the Bibles to preach. I had sense enough, knowing that she was going to be engaged with her family, to say, "Oh, I'll preach for you this week." So y'all going to be mad at me by the time I sit down, but it's going to be all right. One of the most important texts in the Bible often are those that are the hardest to preach. You don't hear preachers just stand up and preach out of Ephesians 5 much. This is one of those texts that is in your kitchen, up on your pew, sitting on your lap. Difficult to hear, difficult to deal with about something personal to you. It gets to the attitudes that we have about who we are as people and as families. And just for a few minutes today, because I don't think any of us can take it much longer, I want to preach from the topic order in the house. Order in the house. If I were to choose a subtopic, it would be don't miss the headline.
Yeah.
Don't miss the headlines. Listen, families are jacked up. If we there's no place like Emery Grove. No place. If we are honest and take off our mask,
yes, yes.
We come in here holy every single Sunday, big Bible in our hand, dressed up, hat on our head, smelling good, got your makeup on. I know I'm going to be in trouble by the end of this, I might as well just go ahead on in. And we come in here representing one thing. But if we replay the tape, we rewind the tape of what was going on in your house and in your life 24 hours prior to your entry into the sanctuary, would everything look as holy as it is now? Mm-hmm. So many people show up at the sanctuary out of an argument at their house. Mm-hmm. So many of us are so frustrated with our children that we dare not even tap them on the shoulder to wake them up out of their sleep to say, come on and worship God with us today. Some of us are so afraid of our children, we won't even knock on the door to go in the room to tap them on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And listen, don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger on here. I didn't write a word that's in here. And so first of all, if you're mad, get mad at God. And second of all, I ain't scared of none of y'all. And it's not that I'm big and bad, but here's why. I've been living in a family for 54 years. And you might not say anything about your family, but I know about mine. I've been through some things with my, I've seen some things in my family that don't have anything to do with God, although we're claiming our Christianity and our faith and our holiness. Can somebody say amen in here?
Amen.
I wish somebody would be real today. And part of the reason our families are in such chaos is because things are not according to the order that God set out for family life. Let me tell you how this works. The world has one standard. And the world standard is everybody do them. It's about me. It's about myself. It's about I. You're not going to tell me what to do. I better not tell you what to do. I'm going to get mine whether you get yours or not. In fact, I'm going to make sure you don't get yours so that I can get mine. That's. Are we living in the same place? God's order is something different. If you look at our communities, there's evidence that our families are out of order. And I don't mean to hurt any feelings in here, but the first verse in 21, the headline to this whole text, before we talk about what y'all have gotten caught up into from 22 on down, let's look at 21 for a minute. All y'all, us, listen to these words. Submit yourselves to one another in the fear of God. First problem. In the world, ain't nobody submitting to nothing. Forget the man or woman thing. Nobody in the world submits to anything. You got to be the biggest, baddest thing, taking care of yourself out here in the street. It is counterculture for even you to get your life in the same order that God wants to use to order the life of the family. The world doesn't want you to do it this way. Look at the economy. If you are married today, I'm counseling three couples now, and not one of them where the husband works and the wife is just staying home chilling. Because if you live in Montgomery County, you can't afford to be home chilling. Every able body in the house got to be working. It is something different than what God ordered in creation. And the word of God says this: submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, there's got to be some acknowledgement about the awesomeness and power of God in your life. Yeah. And when we come to recognize who God is in our lives, our only natural response as human beings, the weaker of the two, is to submit ourselves, to subject ourselves to the one who has all the power. Amen. And if we're careful about this, when we look at the family, you don't have enough power to run your house. As evidenced by the fact that so many of them are out of control. Amen. Why you got to whip your child's behind every day? There's some control problems. There's some order issues. Why is it that your husband didn't come home last night? Why is it that your wife doesn't do what you think she ought to be doing? Why is it that your relationship is jacked up? Why is it that y'all can't spend any time worshiping together in the house of the Lord? Stuff is out of control. And watch this. We begin to mimic in church what the world does. Let me preface this. I was born in 1961, second child born to my mother without a husband. I'm only me, my family. I told you about my family, right? It wasn't popular then. You can't be walking around pushing a baby carriage with no husband in 1961. People looking at you kind of sideways. All the old ladies with the dresses down below their knee. Right, you can't even walk by the holiness church where they don't have any makeup or fingernails. Oh my God! And the church made my mother come and sit on the mourner's bench because she had committed a sin and got pregnant out of wedlock. And I've said it in this congregation before: my trifling behind father ain't had to sit on nothing. But the way I understand biology, he had something to do with this. What I didn't have sense enough to understand growing up in the midst of that is that stuff was out of order in my house. My mother was out of order. It was out of order. You don't have babies before you get married. I'm in church. Somebody ought to be saying amen. I might be hurting somebody's feelings, but if you are having children out of wedlock, it is out of God's plan for your life. Somebody has to stand and say it. I'm not telling you you're getting ready to bust hell wide open. I'm not telling you that you are worse sinner than everybody else, but it is out of God's plan. It is out of order. Here's how I know it's out of order. I struggled. My mother struggled. I watched her struggle. I struggled with her all of my childhood. Never enough money. Why? Because it takes two. Male and female created he them. For a reason. He put them together and then the kids start coming out. It needs to happen in that order. And I watch our young people. Some of y'all in this room. I'm not crazy, I see. I don't know why you're in relationships. You graduate from high school, you need to be looking to get married somewhere. Otherwise, you're just floating here to there, hooking up to be hooking up. Mm-hmm. And here's what I see. What's the status of your relationship? What kind of relationship y'all in? We just chilling. I didn't ask you about the temperature. I asked you about the status. It's whatever. There's, in the lexicon, there aren't even words for it. But watch this. The reason they don't have words for it is because they've been watching us. With jacked up marriages that they don't want. I'm going to get Tracy. I'm going to get her. And the reason things are a problem is because we will not submit first to God as individuals. And listen, if you think about a relationship, don't be in a relationship with somebody who's not submitted to God. God's model implies mutual submission. Everybody in the relationship is submitting to everybody in the relationship, and you want to submit yourself to somebody who doesn't know the one who has power over your life? What are you expecting to happen except for chaos? Amen. And so we wind up with the baby. Worse, some disease we can't get rid of. A lifetime full of problems. Children are a blessing from God. Says so in Psalms. A heritage from the Lord. They're like arrows with a cunning archer. And blessed is the one who has their quiver full of them, is what it says. Yeah. But what I know is when you have them, you got them.
Yeah.
Once you got them, you got them. That's years and years of reaching in your pocket and shelling out. And what's interesting to me is as they get older, you shell out more. And then when they get old and leave your house and think they're grown, you shelling out even more. By the way, how you grown and still in my wallet? Young people, I wasn't even trying to say this today, but God has given it to me. If you are out here looking for a relationship with somebody who doesn't know the Lord, get out of it now. Get out of it now. It has no, God's preferred future for you is in a family. Male, female, and a child. That's what God has as a preferred future for you. Otherwise, it's out of order. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want any gods before him. How would God, who is jealous, have you submitting to somebody who does not know who he is? I'm trying to help you do some logic with this. Let me move on. It gets worse. Many of us have read the text of this newspaper article without reading the headline. At the end of the 19th century, they started using headlines in newspapers. So it would give some people an idea about what the intent of the author was in the writing. In other words, the headline says, here's what the main point of what you're about to read is. Those men, and they are all men, who began editing the Bible did us a disservice. Because in my Bible, this section starts with verse 22. You got to watch out now. Because some people who do their work do so to keep themselves in control of some stuff. Yeah. The female voice has almost been edited out of the Bible because it's been men who wrote it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. I know I'm right, I'm gonna preach anyway. And if you start at 22, you will have missed the point. Because you start at this male dominant thing. Listen, you miss the headline and you miss the translation. Some stuff gets lost in the translation. The words that they use here in English are not the words that they use in Greek. Here's what it means. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. In the hands of the wrong man, that's permission to come home after work and grab your wife by her hair and drag her into the kitchen and say, "Where's my dinner? Do what I say, do. Obey me." And when we really get it cranked up, we think we're halfway spiritual, we'll slam the Bible down on the table and say, "Right there." Mm-hmm. But you can tell men who do this didn't grow up in a black family because I don't mind telling you, my wife is just as calm and sweet as she can be. Let me come home one time. It's a great big frying pan down there, about this big. I'm scared to death. And I learned more about this in Africa when I went, in Zimbabwe. The women are they give so much honor to men there. When they shake my hand, they offer the hand this way, and they curtsy on their front. It feels weird doing this, doesn't it? But it's almost too much for me. And you would think it's all deferential until you get behind closed doors at the crib. And the roles flip. Because no man in Zimbabwe wants to do what a woman has to do to run a household every day. Y'all missed that. In the household, she's honoring the man, but she's in control of what's going on. That's their model of mutual submission. In other words, whether I've been out there all day or not, and the reality in Montgomery County is I've been out there and my wife's been out there all day working for the same money that keeps the heat on and the lights on. You better get your behind in that kitchen and put a burger in the pan yourself. Mm-hmm. Wash some dishes. Particularly if you want anything else going on for the rest of the evening. Move on, Pastor, move on. So it's not about who's in charge and who is demanding. This is about honoring and revering the one who is in leadership. God has given men a role in the household. We're going to get to it in a moment. We might as well get to it now because it talks about men later on. But the male's role in the household is not to control, but to lead. Mm-hmm. Many a woman has been a victim of a man who is too trifling to lead. If watch this. If you can't lead yourself, you're not eligible to lead a household. Soon as you get your paycheck, you're going somewhere to drink it and smoke it, you're not an eligible bachelor. If you can't save enough to buy a wedding ring, come on, somebody, you're not an eligible bachelor. Mm-hmm. If you're arguing and fussing and fighting and cussing all the time, you're not eligible to lead. If you can't lead yourself, how are you going to lead some woman and some child someplace? The husband is the head, the leader, listen to this, of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands. Subject is about honoring, revering, being led by, supporting the work of somebody. It doesn't make you a second-class citizen. You're a first-class citizen. Everybody in your house is to be a first-class citizen. In fact, if a man loves himself, If I walk in thinking I'm the best thing since sliced bread, it follows logically that everybody in my house is best thing since sliced bread, especially my wife. Mm-hmm. I want my wife walking in here looking better than me, because I want y'all to think well of me as a man. Sometimes you find men with stuff and things, and the wife is at home barefoot and pregnant. That's not God's motto. Hard stuff, I'm preaching. The job of the husband is to love your wife. Here's where men get jacked up. Loving your wife ain't got nothing to do with what you do in your bedroom. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. We read right by it. Like it only has meaning the way you want it to have meaning. Reverend Wright talked about it a little bit on Wednesday. There's three kinds of love in the Bible. The one they're talking about here is not the one that you like. The one here is the kind of love that sacrifices even unto death. If you're the leader in the military, since you're out watching point, you're the first one to get killed by the enemy. Right? If you're loving your wife as Christ loved the church, it stands to reason that you love your wife the way Christ loved the church. And you must ask yourself the question, gentlemen, how did Jesus show his love for us? Every woman in the room that's of age has heard it from some man. Baby, let me show you how much I love you. Don't tell nobody where you were when you heard it. I know you heard it. Mm-hmm. I need to show you. What I got for you is beyond words. I need to show you how much I love you. Mm-hmm. But think about it. Think about it. How did Jesus show his love for me? He ain't said, oh, I love you so much. He ain't tell me how much bath water of mine he's going to drink. He ain't do any of that. Before time, knowing that I would need to live in his love, went to a cross and gave up his life for me. The problem with many men in relationships and the reason why families are so out of whack is because men in Christ are not dead enough.
Yeah. Amen.
The reason what should have been a 5-minute conversation turned into a 4-hour argument in the middle of the night is because your ego is too big and you are not dead enough. Amen. You'll see, keep on living. I've been at this 32 years. Every hill is not the one I've been chosen to die on. Some stuff is not that important. Sometimes I just have to submit myself to my wife. Right or wrong, I ain't fussing, fighting, arguing. Just shut up. It's done. You up arguing, fussing, fighting till 4 o'clock in the morning, got to get up at 5 to go to work. What kind of fool are you? You're not dead enough. And in order to submit yourself that way, you have to be submitted to God enough to say, this is not a big thing. Lord, you're the main thing. God, I know you've got control over this. I'm submitted to you. And if you have control over me, you've got control over the family. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to lay myself down and go ahead to sleep. All this fussing and fighting ain't going to get nothing done, no way. No order in the house. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. No man ever hated his body and hated his own flesh, but you ought to nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body. Your families are member of God's body. Please don't miss this. Don't raise your kids to be individuals. Raise them to be members of the church. Raise your children to be a part of the body of Christ. If you don't hand off your faith to your children, your family is failing. Boy, this is hard to say. I know it is. I get it. Sometimes medicine is bitter. We are members of Christ's body, of his flesh and his bones. For this cause, it says, shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Let me just stop off here for a minute and tell y'all a little bit about families being all up in the business. When they got married, God created a new family. Yes. You can still love Big Mama, but she don't need to know what happened in your bedroom last night. Daddy was taking good care of you, but it's no longer his job. What goes on in your house, God is dealing with in your house. And the quickest way to destroy a marriage is to bring all these other people into a relationship where they have no business. You can still honor your people, still get with them at cookouts, do all that kind of stuff, but it's your house. Take responsibility for it. It doesn't belong to anybody else. God wants you to be solid and thriving in your own place. This is the reason why he put y'all together. The miracle of God is that God is creating a new family in Christ. We often get so caught up when we talk about marriage in what it's doing for me. Oh, he completes me. Come on, man. You better be complete before you get married. Somebody else will complete you. I'm too fickle. I might not be right today. You better be complete before you come find me. And young women, if a man comes in and you wait for somebody else to complete you, you got some issues because he might be completing you in a way that God didn't want you completed. You complete what? God is calling you together to do what a miracle that only God can do. Takes 100% of you and 100% of someone else and creates out of both of y'all one. The math doesn't work. In God's mathematics for family, 1 + 1 = 1. And when you add children to it, it's 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And if you like some of y'all, it's 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1. Equals one. And the only way that works is the same way the church works. All of us are one body in Christ. All of us going on in this place all belongs to all of us. When you're sick, we're all sick. When you're thriving, we're all thriving. When you're celebrating, we're all celebrating. We are one in Christ. That's the intent. It's God's miracle that only the Holy Ghost can make happen. We need to be sure that if we want the chaos out of our families, that we're in touch with God's purpose for the family. God wants to get some glory out of your marriage. God wants to get glory out of your family. God wants to get glory out of your life. And until God does it, if y'all want a strong Emory Grove church, families have to be strong. This is a family church. It's a family church for a reason. And the enemy comes when he can't get you. He's coming at your family. And the reason he's coming at your family isn't about you. It's the same way when God blesses you, the blessing is not about you. When Satan comes for you, it's not about you either. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. spiritual wickedness in high. There's some stuff going on in the spirit realm. There's a fight going on between God and the devil, and we are pawns in it. And you need to know that your family is at stake. When he can't get you, he's going to come for your family. If he can't, when he gets your family, he's got the church. There's a strategy. And the question for us is, will we cover our families? Will we cover our families? It's about prayer. It's about intent. It's about practice. Right? Will you make up your mind today that your family is going to belong to God? Period. That means God's way. It means God's will. That whatever you have to do, you're going to submit your family to God and allow God to make changes in your family. And are you going to participate in worrying God about your family? Not because somebody got on your nerves. Not that prayer. I saw a thing on the internet, how married people pray. It was funny. Lord, would you bless my wife? She ain't cooked the right dinner on Thursday. Lord, would you bless my husband? Bring him into your will. You know he plays golf every Sunday and should be in jail. Not that. But Lord, I see your purpose for our family. And I'm drawing a line in the sand right here that the devil's not going to come any further against this family. My intent, Lord God, is for this family to glorify you. I'm submitting myself to you, God. Will you make it happen? That's a prayer that's going to set some people free in your family. It's about intent. It's about prayer. And then it's about practice. Submission does not happen by itself. It's an act. Something you've got to do. You've got to make a conscious decision, a conscious act. You've got to do something to say you submit. In the Chinese culture, they call it kowtowing. You've heard the word before? I'm not going to kowtow to this one. I'm not going to kowtow to that one. We think of it as bowing down, but it's even more radical than that. In China, when you recognize that somebody is superior to you, not only do you bow down, but you put your forehead down on the ground. And to symbolize that you understand it, you literally bang your forehead on the ground. This is kowtowing. And we've got to take our spirit and let it kowtow before God. Yeah. All that arrogance, all of that self-righteousness, yes, before God. All of the pain, all of the ways of the world, we got to bow down and kowtow before God. And sometimes in the middle of the night, when you're wrong and your wife is right. Sometimes when he's hungry and needs a meal and doesn't understand how hard you work today, you got to with a frying pan. Amen. I gotta stop. The point is, we need to practice what God wants us to do. It's in the middle of that argument. It's in deciding that you're not going to be afraid of your children anymore, however wild and crazy they are, that you're going to be parents, and you're going to walk in there and you're going to go through the sock drawer because it's your house. Uh-huh. And as for me and my house, we're going to praise the Lord, get your butt up out of bed, or it's going to be problems around here. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing the matter with it. As a child, I didn't get saved because I thought it was a good idea. I had people who got my rusty black butt up out of bed in the morning and said, we are going to worship God today. Thankful to God today that somebody had sense enough to drag me kicking and screaming to church when I didn't want to go. Thankful to God today that I sat there writing notes and chewing bubble gum and cutting up in the back of the church. And between jokes, the word of God was creeping in my ear. And I don't care what you do and what condition you're in, when the word of God creeps in your ear, you will not leave the same as when you came. It works the same for our children. Do we love them and not expose them to the word of God? Order in the house. And as you stand to your feet, I want to talk about the first act of order. before we worry about the family, we have to get ourselves in order. I don't know about you, but I remember a time in my life when my life was out of order. Am I the only one in the room? Mm-hmm. You running around town being the god of yourself? Does that resonate with anybody? I'm going where I want to go. I'm doing what I want to do. I know a God is out there, but I ain't worried about God right now. Hey. You're out of order. No matter what you think about yourself, God is still who God is. God has all power in his hand. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. The whole earth is his and the fullness thereof. He doesn't have to do anything to you. All he needs to do is just stop paying attention and your life will fall into chaos and disaster. That's God. That somehow in the midst of his godliness still feels a certain way about you and me. Loves us enough. Recognizes the value in us enough to beforehand, knowing that we would need a way to God, send his son to lay down his own life, to die, to show us what real love looks like, so that we could get in order. Remember it said in the scripture, in the headline, submitting yourself to one another. Jesus had to do some submitting too. One of my favorite scenes in the Bible is the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a decision we all have to make. Is it going to be my will or is it going to be God's will? Every day. Is it going to be my will or is it going to be, am I going to be my own God or is God going to be God? No gray area in it. No cut cards. Either God is going to be God or I'm going to be God. There's nothing in the middle. Jesus decided that while it was painful and difficult and he would have to sacrifice his own life, he was going to obey, submit himself to the will of his Father. One thing about submission, you'll learn this in your house. When you submit, it breeds submission. I just set some men free right there. I know I did. Stop acting like a park ape and a gorilla. And submit yourself to your wife. See what happens when she sees a softer side. Not that you're no longer a man. It doesn't emasculate you. It really sets you free. When we submit to God, it causes others to submit to God. That blessing is not for us. It's for the rest of the world. It's God's way of evangelizing. Sets our houses in order. Sets communities in order. But the first step is that we have to submit. I'm not going to be king of my own life anymore. I'm not going to be my own God. I'm going to submit to God today. So if you're here today, man, woman, boy, or girl, and you haven't submitted yourself to God, he's my leader. I'm going to follow him. He's got more power than I do. I'm going to yield to him. His way of thinking is better than my way of thinking. I'm going to defer to him. If you've not done it, God's will for your life today is that you get your life in order. If you're here, come on today. You need to make a decision that Jesus died for me, earned the right to be my Savior, earned the right to be my Lord. And today I'm going to give him his due. For the rest of my life, I'm going to be submitted to Jesus Christ today. If you're here today, just leave where you are and come forward. We want to meet with you. We want to pray with you today. You'll find when you give up control of your life that God begins to bless you in ways that you can't even measure. Is there one who's here today? Second call today. Somebody may
be saved, but you're looking from place to place to find out where you should be. We want you to know that Emory Grove is a great church that's believing in the order of God. And we're trying to set ourselves right and to set this community right with God. We just believe Bible here. We believe in Jesus Christ, Him crucified and resurrected. Nothing more than that. We would love to be the place where God plants you. I'll speak for my own self. I would love to be your pastor if you're here. So if you're looking for a church home, someplace to work out your soul salvation, fear and trembling, this is the place for you. Are you here today? Please come. Is there one? Before you're seated, we just wanted to let you know that the altar of God is open for those who feel a need to pray today. Everybody in this church ought to have some family to pray for. I haven't met a perfect family yet. Altar is the place where you come to give God the offering of the pain that's in your life in exchange for the blessing of peace that comes with knowing that He's going to take care of it. So I invite you to come to the altar today.